Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. Kevin is back. It's a big part of our promo heading into the show.
It was exciting to be part of the promo.
You've been a part of the Lawrence promos all week.
Sorry I missed that.
So the phone lines are open for the All Kevin Hour at 800-795-9565. Call now. An operator is standing by. Well, in lieu of Kevin calls, I'll continue on with the show.
Hey, I do have a quick question, if you have a second.
I've got till 5 o'clock.
Great. That works out well then, doesn't it? I sent you a text yesterday in the show. Actually, I think the show was done. We were after the deadline for baseball trades, and now it's waiver wire time. Do the Phillies put Young out on the waiver wire and see if there's any interest and then go from there?
Of course they do. They put him out there, and then they put out Utley, and they put out Ruiz. And if they wish to withdraw, they withdraw.
I wonder if there was any truth to the John Heyman report from CBSSports.com that the Phillies and the Yankees were in discussions with Young and then also throwing in a discussion with Ruiz. According to Amaro, they were. Well, but according to Amaro this morning on Philadelphia Sports Station, WIP, he says that John's report was wrong.
It's wrong. I mean, there's been a lot of talk in Pittsburgh that the the Pirates and Marlins were very close on a deal, and it would have involved Giancarlo Stanton going to Pittsburgh, Jameson Taillon, Nick Kingman, and Polanco and one other prospect would have gone to Miami. Now, to be frank with you, that would have been a great trade for Miami. Would have been a great trade for the Pirates, too. But it would have been a great deal. Taillon and Kingman, especially. Kingman's a really good prospect. I like Nicky a lot. But you want to know what prevented Miami from making that deal?
What did that?
All the other deals that they made where they have lost the trust of their fans. Even though in the long term, this deal, I believe, would have really helped Miami. Short term, they needed to keep the fans and not have them say, oh, geez, look, they traded Stanton. And they would have given up completely on them. That's why they didn't do the deal.
Did Ruben Amaro miss an opportunity?
Opportunity for what?
Well, because we don't know what was being offered, so I preface it by saying that, but let's assume there was some sort of an opportunity available to make a move.
Like nothing happened for anybody.
Well, that was the next thing I was going to ask, is why nothing for anybody, really?
Because there's nobody out there. PV was out there, it was obvious, and in lieu of the biogenesis situation, the fact that the Tigers fear Johnny Polanco being suspended, they made the deal, so they ended up acquiring Jose Iglesias. Because Johnny Peralta is going to be, I think they fear he's going to be suspended for 50 games. So that makes that trade go. Plus the Red Sox had Buchholz, who had been 9-0, ERA under 2. They've lost him for the, you know, they think, they fear they've lost him for the season, so they felt they had to get Peavy. So necessity on those two wins created what we had. So they get Iglesias, they get Peavy. It was interesting to hear Rob talk about Luke Gregerson. Luke Gregerson, if he were to clear waivers, would be a great guy for the Pirates to get on the roster. Luke pitched here in State College, another one of these free, loose spirits, I can tell you that. And left-handed, and right-handed, that is very, very good as a setup guy. But he has to clear waivers first.
By the way, speaking of free agency in the NCAA has now ended.
No, it hasn't.
Well.
Monday. No, Monday.
Oh, it is Monday? It is not August 1st.
No, it's the first day of practice.
Okay, so a lot of reports said August 1st. They are erroneous.
It's Monday.
Okay.
Now, nothing's going to happen, so it doesn't really matter. Nothing's happened. See, what happened is this. Once the players got into practical application and saw how Bill and his staff handled practice, how Bill and his staff handled games, I think everybody looked around and said, okay, I'm in. And I think if the others had waited to see practical application, I think they probably would have stayed as well. I knew once they saw how things were going to work during the season, I knew once they saw that, nobody was going to leave. I had no fears whatsoever after the first month of the season that a player was going to leave. None. I never brought it up on the show after that. So, I think that, but once they start practicing on Monday, or else, then it's over with. That part of the sanction's over with. And, you know, you have to live by this. I mean, it is what it is. I know that there can be requests to be met halfway and so forth, but now, you still have to go through and assume it goes all the way through. I mean, but the unfairness of this is also the perception of this. Let me explain what I mean. What is the perception of the length of the sanctions against Penn State?
The amount of time it is. There's been a lot of discussion about the time.
Yeah. Everybody assumes it's 4 years, right?
Right. But you don't say that. You say it's more than that.
Sure it is. It's 6 years and really a seventh. So it's actually one down, five, maybe six to go. And here's the reason why. Last year, there was no bowl game, no chance of the Big Ten championship. The reality was they finished second in the division, and they probably would have had an Outback Bowl bid last year. So they get denied that. They get denied that. This year, right now, I think it's 67 or 67 scholarships, 66, 67. But he can have 85 if he wants. But you cannot go from 85 to 65 like that. So, I mean, you had to reduce scholarships anyway so you can keep recruiting. And there's no bowl game and there's no chance of the Big Ten championship. Okay. Get to year three. Now you have to be at 65. And there's no bowl game. And then in 15, 65, no bowl game. Now you get to 16. You're at 65, but you can still go to a bowl game. Now you can go to a bowl game. You can play for the Big Ten championship and go to a bowl game in 16. But you have to be at 65. Now you get to 17. 65. But you can go to a bowl game. That's 6 years. And then you do not go from 65 to 85 like that. You just don't. Say you have 65 scholarship guys and you lose 15. You're down to 50. All right? Guess what? What's 50 plus 25? 75. You're still 10 short. I mean, that's how long this takes. There are 6 actual years of sanctions, and then there's a transition year on scholarships. I mean, they'll be allowed to have 85 scholarship guys. So there'll be run-ons, they'll get scholarships and so forth. So, I mean, you know, you'll be at 85. But in terms of the actual recruitable scholarship guy that you get, when they play in, I want to say, what is it, 18? They're not going to have, I mean, say for you're at 65 and, you know, 15, the 15 guys you were allowed to recruit before they graduate. You go down to 50. Well, you're 35 away from 85. Okay? See what I mean? It's one of the greatest fallacies about all this is it's a 4-year sanction. This isn't a 4-year sanction. It's 6 and a transition of a 7th. It is what it is. There's a reality to it.
You know, one thing I think it's interesting is a lot of reports I've been reading lately from people that have followed this, besides you, obviously, but that have followed this in the sports media, is there's a lot more discussion now of when they talk about the sanctions, if it still stays in place. Or something to that effect. I've heard that a lot more in the last 3 months than I think I've heard in the last year.
I think that the severity of the sanctions stunned a lot of people. I don't mean to Penn State people. I think it stunned people nationally. Like, holy cow, that's steep. I mean, that is, and that's how it's been looked at. It's steep. And I think the idea, I thought Bill O'Brien and Dave Joyner handled it very well in Chicago. I always love it. I mean, a lot of people want to take shots at Dave all the time. I know, because he'd been a member of the Board of Trustees and so forth. I hear you. All right. But it's time to be realistic about some things. When they asked Dave about the sanctions and meeting halfway, he gave the administration answer that needs to be given. Well, these are the sanctions. We have to deal with it. We're making great progress and, you know, implementing and, you know, and so forth. Okay? He has to give that answer. That is the right answer for a member of the administration to give. Bill O'Brien, as the football coach, gave exactly the answer the football coach should give. I hope they can figure out a way to find some middle ground and meet us halfway. And maybe the door is open to that. We'll see. But for now, I approach what I'm doing in my job that the sanctions go all the way through. And I can't approach it any other way until told differently. I can outline on a show like this how it's possible and actually why it is good for the NCAA to meet down. It's obvious that if they meet Penn State halfway somewhere, that it's really good for Penn State. That's obvious. But my point is that let's go beyond the obvious. It actually, I think, would be really good for the NCAA to show that, hey, look, somebody's doing it right. They've worked hard. These people had nothing to do with anything that we thought was wrong or bad at the place. That's why we're going to do this. It would help them as an organization that is facing a lawsuit from Ed O'Bannon and players that is facing problems with the Miami investigation and so forth. It would help them. You know, so you have to, you know, when something like that is done, there has to be benefits on both sides. And so it's obvious what the benefits for Penn State are. But I think there would be benefits for the NCAA as well if they did. If. But I'm proceeding as if it goes all the way through because until told otherwise, I have to feel that way. Riley Cooper, we'll talk about him in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout. So let the sizzling summer sales event get you fired up. Like a 2005 Lexus ES330 sedan. Call for our lowest price promise, 888-536-8017. Ford Fusion 5-door SE, just $12,995. 2011 Ford Fusion 4-door sedan, front-wheel drive, $14,997. 2010 Honda Odyssey EXL, the perfect minivan for traveling, $24,643. 2011 Jeep Wrangler 2-door Rubicon, $24,997. And a 2012 Ford F-150 Supercrew, $145. Call for a price, 888-536-8017. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Riley Cooper. Let's get to it here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. He was caught at a Kenny Chesney concert. How he's caught, I don't know. It doesn't really matter. Uttering the N-word. And now it's become a story because the story got out. Okay? There's been a big debate going on that is used among African Americans all the time. It's used in the locker room, all the blah, blah, blah. Okay. I got it. Now it's time to get something else. I don't care what color you are, creed, whatever it happens to be. We have to get back to a decency and the fact that class shows. It's okay to have fun, laugh, kid around, joke around. But there are certain things in life, regardless of race, you just can't say. You can't use the word that begins with F. You can't use the word that begins with N. And there are a few others along the way you can't use. But why do you want to use it, regardless of your race? Why do you want to? Don't you want to come off as a classy individual? Intelligence respected? I had a little chuckle the other day. They were talking on a show discussing race in America, and they were talking about dress, mode of dress. And the mode of dress was that a lot of young African Americans wear their pants down, you know, pulled down where you can see the backside, whatever, part of it. That's not an African-American problem in the city. That is a teenage to early 20s problem across the board. I see young Caucasian Americans doing that all the time, too. It's an age thing. I have an idea for you. Pull up your pants, clean up your language. Okay. It's okay to dress decently. It's okay to throw on a golf shirt or even a nice T-shirt, whatever it happens to be, if you want to dress down. It's okay to own a belt. You want to go out and you want to show people you're a cut above? You want to go and you want to be the one that gets that job, regardless of where it is? Get yourself started on the ladder? Dress appropriately. Clean up your language. Set a standard. A standard needs to be set. Here on this radio station, for example, there's a variety of words I can't use on this show. nor would I even consider it. And it's not just the FCC. I don't care about the FCC. I care about being a person that you trust and being a person that you feel when you listen to it, you feel like you're listening to somebody I hope comes off with class. Kevin and I will kid around, but we kid around like brothers. But it's always clean fun all the time. You want to be, I listen, you know, I want people to say they listen to this show and feel like they learned something, that it's entertaining, and that any member of my family could listen to it. That's the show we want to do. That is how any player in the NFL should conduct themselves, locker room or not, and how young people across the board have to start thinking, regardless of race and regardless of where they live, you can clean up your act anywhere, anytime. And it doesn't take any money to clean up your mouth. And it doesn't take much, actually, to dress appropriately and give people the impression of who you want to be in life.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us as we roll through on this Thursday afternoon. As you heard Mark Lawrence mention, Kevin Herr is back, and it is day two of his favorite month tomorrow. Yep, while the rest of us are getting excited about football in September, Kevin will be headed to an emotional crash, because that means August is over. That's right. That's why I don't label a favorite month. I thought I'd let each month be its own excitement and let it breathe. Kevin throws all of his emotional eggs into one month. I mean, every one of them. 800-795-9565. Drew, welcome. It's great to have you with us. It is a big, big time to raise some money.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Well, Kevin's back. You can judge for yourself.
Well, I'm sorry about that. There's not much we can do. We gotta put him somewhere.
I was the player to be named later in your deal, Steve.
Absolutely. And I know when I'm at the station on the 12th of August, I will be inspecting personally the bathrooms to make sure how well he's done. All right. So, Drew, let's talk about a radiothon that's very special, and we want to make sure it has as much impact as possible.
Well, what I hope, Steve Jones Show listeners can do, if they're not familiar with our event on 94KX, is just give it a few minutes of their time. All they'll have to do is tune into 94KX anytime between 6 a.m. tomorrow and 4 p.m. Sunday, and listen to the stories that we share. We have pre-recorded stories, as well as we'll have live interviews of kids and families that have been helped by the Janet Wise Children's Hospital at Geisinger in Danville. And that's really all we ask. You know, we don't ask that, that they make a pledge or that they call. If they feel compelled to do so, that's great. But if they just listen, that's really all we can ask them to do at this point is try to, reach out to them in that way. A lot of people, I don't think, really have, any idea what goes on inside those walls. Even if they have seen it, and many people haven't, even if they have seen that place, they don't know that there are families in that hospital that essentially live there because of a seriously ill or injured kid. And, the parents stop what they're doing. They stop their lives, and they stop their jobs, and they just stay in that hospital room. And that's something that's...
Yeah, 2009, it was February, and I was doing a basketball game at Purdue. My son Chris, who had extensive bladder surgery done at Boston Children's Hospital. Came down with the what we thought was the flu, and I left and I went to West Lafayette. And for 3 days, he got worse. And finally, I said to my wife, I said, you know, get him to the hospital now. I said, I've got a bad feeling, because I had just read a children's hospital report on perforations in bladders and some of the work that had been done when they tried to grow bladders in the lab. I just read it. That's why it kicked in for me. Got to the hospital, and then immediately they sent him to Geisinger, to the Janet Weiss Children's Hospital. As soon as the game was over, obviously I'm on a charter. I fly back. I get back here about 11:30 at night. I'm at Geisinger by about 1:30 in the morning. At 4:30 in the morning, they came in and they said, look, he's been leaking urine into his body, into his abdomen, for some period of time, and we don't know if we can save him. That's a tough story to hear at 4:30 in the morning. Well, they saved him, and he had to stay in the ICU at the Janet Weiss Children's Hospital for 3 weeks. We thought it was going to be maybe a month to a month and a half, but he stayed there 3 weeks because they did such a great job in the ICU. They had to have him opened up for a period of time. Slowly but surely, he made progress. They closed him up, and the Ronald McDonald House became a home away from home. I was trying to travel back and forth every day, literally, while still trying to work and do games while she stayed here. And after 3 weeks, I can tell you unequivocally, the staff there is outstanding beyond words. They understand parents, and they understand how to treat patients, and they saved his life.
And your story is very familiar, Steve. Not familiar to me with the details, but familiar in that I've heard that from so many people, in that they were going about their daily lives, and at no point did they expect, you know, that they were going to need that hospital. And even though your son had had some health problems and had what you thought was coming down with the flu, it turned out to be something different. You didn't say to yourself, well, gee, I wonder if I'm going to need that big, giant regional trauma center in Danville, Pennsylvania. I don't think anybody really does that. And that's what we try to get across during the Radiothon on 94KX, is to just let people know that, look, we realize that, you know, you don't think that way. That's okay. It's there. You know, it's there. It's going to take care of you. It's going to help you. But, you know, if you want to be a part of that, here's your chance now. Here's how you can be involved.
Well, here's the next part of that. I want people to understand that there is no such thing in life as a small donation. Do not ever sit there and say, I can just give, and then say, I shouldn't bother. There's a big donor out there that will take care of it. That's not true. Whatever you feel you can donate within your own capabilities, within your own budget, is a tremendous donation, because it's then added into everybody else's. And once you start adding it together as a community, it then will make a difference for somebody down the line. And anytime you can make a positive difference for somebody down the line, you've made a tremendous donation.
It's very true. That's very true. And you don't even really have to, at a place like the Janet Weiss Children's Hospital, you know, think about, well, you know, everything is so expensive there. If you talk about a $100,000 pulse oximeter or something like that, the needs that that hospital has can be something as small as a Band-Aid with cartoon characters on it, you know, which is less than a dollar. And that's, you know, something that insurance companies don't pay for. Hospitals, you know, don't look to go spending extra money on anything. But if you know, Children's Miracle Network can do something to aid in the comfort of a patient, they'll do it. So that's why we've enjoyed supporting this cause for 13 years. And, you know, there are listeners in your hometown, Steve, State College, that have benefited from Geisinger services, because that is a home area for Geisinger. A lot of people don't realize that State College in Altoona are part of Geisinger's territory for seriously ill and injured kids. And I hope that, you know, over the next few days, people could just give it a listen and consider becoming a part of what we do.
94KX will be the station that will be carrying it. It'll start tomorrow. It'll run through Sunday. Drew, how can they get in touch with you and make that donation?
Starting tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., they can call the toll-free number of 1-800-799-KIDS. It's 1-800-799-5437. And that's a special number that we have for the Radiothon. That's not our regular toll-free request line or contest line. So, you know, we will scroll it on people's radios, but it, you know, may help to write it down. And you can, of course, go online, too, to WQKX.com. The donation page is already up and running as of tonight.
Drew, thanks so much. Great work. And let's see how many can make a big difference this weekend, because it will.
We'll let you know how we did, Steve, on Monday. Thanks for the time on your show.
Drew, anytime, my good friend. Appreciate it. Drew Kelly with us, and that starts tomorrow morning. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, so a guy needs, they need to suspend a guy, and they have to negotiate with him to do it? Really?
Wait.
Just suspend A-Rod.
Who is it that did something wrong? Major League Baseball, or was it the player? I get confused.
No, but they're talking with his attorney. Yeah. So, I mean, you're sitting there negotiating what? I would look at him straight out and say, hey, you want to sue us? We'll just bring all this out in court. Really, it's the ball's in your court now, babe. What do you want to do? Bob in Liverpool, thank you for joining us. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Steve. A quick question. I was wondering if you've heard anything being planned for Monday morning's practice at Penn State, like last year with the Rise and Rally.
No, there'll be no Rise. There's no Rise and Rally this time for what they're doing. The players are going to be reporting this weekend. They have a practice that they're going to go to on Monday. In fact, I'm trying to say it's not an early morning practice either. It's a little bit later than that. In fact, I've got the schedule right here, so I know what time it starts. It's just like it's an afternoon practice, something like that. But no, nothing like that's planned.
Okay. I was just wondering.
Yeah, life's a little different now than a year ago. So.
Right. And we're over the transfer deadline now, as of now?
Once they get to practice on Monday, it's done.
Okay.
It's the first day of practice. It's not the first day of August. I've got a funny feeling the next 72 hours are pretty safe.
That's the way it seemed. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks for the info.
You're welcome. Let me just see here. So everybody knows, what time does practice start? I actually have a. It starts at, of course, every time I open up this file, it says save with nothing. Just open it. Actually, practice number one is at 6:15 in the morning. Actually, is that early. So, they have a team meeting.
What time was that again?
6:15.
Ugh. Huh. Are you going to get Bill his coffee?
I'm not going to be here.
Oh, that's right. He's going to have to get his own coffee now.
Well, I've done that before. I was doing a Spikes game. He pops his head in the booth. It's like between him. He goes, I wanted to register a complaint about the broadcast. Oh, man. So. Well. So there you go. So a lot of things going on here, and of course the practice starts on Monday. Look, there's absolutely no fear of anybody not showing up. These guys are all here. They're here all summer. I saw everybody here I don't know, last week. There's still some guys finishing up class, too. You know, there are guys that haven't finished up class yet. That took summer classes. Which is good. I mean, it's... So we'll see. With the year coming up. A lot of push in the NHL to expand to Seattle, and they'd like to do it by 2014-15. But there are many feel that Seattle needs an NBA partner to expand. And Seattle is a great NBA destination. But Chris Hansen has had productive talks for Seattle expansion with the NBA. The NHL wants to expand there as well. There was some thought that the Phoenix Coyotes would move there, but have not. The situation in Phoenix actually stabilized, and because of that, they've stayed in Phoenix. So a lot of expansion talk. And now back to the A-Rod thing for a moment. What are you negotiating with? They obviously feel that they not only have him, but they got him good. I mean, you have to look at him and just say, just say, here, you want us to bring all this out in open court? It's up to you. I mean, to me, that's how they handle it.
If they have the proof that they say they do of him actually trying to circumvent and obstruct, then there should be a ban from baseball. I think the big problem is the union.
Let me get back to that, because I haven't heard a single word from the union about this at all. None. Have you heard the union comment on this?
That's what has me wondering.
I don't think that's an issue. I think the union knows that. Look, the rank and file. Let's get to the rank and file. They are furious with Ryan Braun. They're furious with him. They were furious with him when he used the technicality to beat the rap and play last year. The rank and file was furious last year about it. There's no support among the rank and file for A-Rod. So why should the union leadership support him? Major League Baseball turned over the list of names, and I'm pretty sure they've told them, this is why we're doing it. A, B, C, D. Here are the reasons. And if they're smart enough to have read it, they've looked at it and go, oh, boy. What's there to fight? What's interesting is that I find, in listening to talk radio, younger announcers don't think it's cheating. I've heard that. I'm stunned by it.
What, the juicing isn't considered cheating?
Yep. That's just part of what goes on and part of the, I've heard that.
It's not a vitamin supplement.
Well, you and I both know that. I'm just saying it's cheating.
I just, that astounds me.
I'm just telling you. I'm not trying to. I'm just telling you what they've said. It's obvious what it is. Now, your hand-eye coordination is something that is critical at the plate. It's critical in the field. And your hand-eye coordination is obviously critical. So you have to have that to begin with. But when we have hand-eye coordination and greater bat speed, because you're bigger, stronger, it does make a big difference. Why are home runs down? since testing began. I mean, how come nobody's close to 60 home runs anymore? How come nobody's close to 50 home runs anymore? I mean, where is it? I mean, nobody's out there hitting 50 home runs anymore, which, by the way, is 23 fewer than the Bonds record. Barely getting to 40, which is 33 home runs shy of the Bonds record. That's how big a gap it is now, Kevin. Why is it nobody's getting to that threshold? Chris Davis gets off to a great start. I can tell you right now, Chris Davis is not going to hit 50 home runs. He hit one since the All-Star break, right? Well, he's still at 38, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Hit one in 3 weeks. I'm telling you, it is a different ball game now. The only way you'll see home runs go up in a testing era is if they decide to change the baseball, which has been done before. After 1968, in 69, they lowered the mound and they changed the baseball. Kevin's back. All the Phillies stayed.
Season over.
A tale and a recipe for whining. You're good at that.